welcome and good morning. It is good to see you. Good to be here. Good to see your smiling faces. It is good that you're here with the spirit of worship. Before we begin, let's look at a few announcements. This week, coming up on Tuesday the 12th, will be the deacons meeting at 7. And the 14th at 10 on Thursday, Bible study. Next Sunday, morning worship, we'll have communion and washing of the saints' feet. And also at 5 p.m. Next Sunday will be the annual church business meeting. Ladies Auxiliary will meet on the 18th Monday, the 18th at 7 p.m. Are there any other announcements? Well, let's stand together and read the responsive reading this morning. We are here, Lord, your people, your church gathering together in your presence.
We are open to each other, and we are open to you.
Today, make yourself known to us through worship, our prayer, and our understanding of your word.
This is your day, and we shall praise you.
This is your day, and we shall declare your name.
This is your day, and we shall worship the risen Savior and our King.
Father, we do indeed worship you. We praise, honor, and glorify your name. May everything that we do here this morning magnify Jesus, promote the moving and the power of your Spirit upon us, your worshipers, your beloved children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you will please remain standing and turn in your hymnals to 438. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Jesus Saves. Testament scripture reading comes from the English Standard Version this morning, and it is Psalm 66, verses 10 through 14. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you. that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. And the New Testament scripture this morning is Galatians 6, verses 1 through 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember together? Anyone else? Amen. All right, let's take action together as we pray. Remember these, and certainly I'm sure you know someone who has a need, unspoken need. And let's remember these and certainly be thankful for the God's blessings. The rain, thank you, Gene, has been mighty good. Let's take action together as we pray. Father God, I praise and honor and glorify your name. Thank you for Jesus and all that he means to us. Certainly for the sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for that precious Holy Spirit that's here as we pray, that gives us that boldness that we need to humbly come before the throne and petition you on behalf of not only others but of ourselves, because we confess that we're not everything that we should be. And we need your help with that. And we just asked that you would be with us this morning in a way that we can feel and know you in relationship as never before. We pray for our nation, Father, and there's so many things that are happening. There's a lot of anger and strife and fightings and just all kind of problems all around us, and we know it stems from sin. It's just missing the mark, the aim of where you would have us to be. We know it's because the relationship of your people that you created is not right, not only with you, but with one another. We certainly need your help with that. So we pray you'd strengthen this church and churches throughout the land, throughout the world, to be able to reach out to those prodigals, those who are lost, and those who need you in their life, to promote peace and unity and God-like people who love one another and encourage and support one another. And we certainly pray for the leaders of our land and of our world that they would be open and listen and cry out to you for knowledge and understanding to promote peace and brotherly love. We also remember our brothers and sisters in the faith scattered throughout the world. We know many are fighting for the gospel and putting their lives on the line as they seek to further the gospel in the place where you've placed them. So we pray you protect their lives and their families and help the church continue to grow and be strengthened throughout the world. You've been mighty good to us, and we certainly want to thank you for that. We live a life of abundance, and we can just see your mercy this week as you've sent the rain when we needed it most, and we certainly honor your name for that. You've been mighty good, Lord. You've been good to us, and we want you to know that as we worship. And we just thank you for all that you do. Bless us as we continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn into hymnal to 634, and we're going to sing all three verses of More Love to Thee.
Worship as we give. Lord, you've been mighty good to us, and you've blessed us with everything that we need. And today we give back to support your kingdom's work. Bless the gifts that are given and those who give as we give cheerfully from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Our scripture text today is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. We're continuing the series, Transformed by Truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And certainly, we could all use a good dose of that in our lives, couldn't we? Amen? Amen. Today, our thought is a reminder to remember. Does anybody here ever forget anything?
Yes.
All right. A reminder to remember. C.S. Lewis once said something along the lines of this. He said, Christians don't need to be instructed as much as they need to be reminded. I guess his point being that most of us know just about as much as we need to know to live the Christian life. We don't like the knowledge. We just tend to forget to put it into practice. Peter finishes the first chapter of this second epistle by telling his readers that it is his intention to remind them to remember some very important things about the Christian life. His words begin in verse 12 of chapter 1. He said, I will always remind you of these things. And we're talking about Peter. Y'all knew who Peter was, right? Peter, he walked with Jesus, prayed with him, ate with him, denied him. He said, I want to always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in truth, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. Peter is saying he knows his death is imminent. And he goes on to say, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Peter says they're so important. Even after I'm gone, you still need to remember these things. Now, I think he'd be telling us today, hey, Deep Run, these are some things that you need to remember. Peter said, you've already got the knowledge. You already know the truth. You're already established in the truth. But these are some things you need to remember. Now, we should strive to grow in knowledge. But what Peter is telling us that most of us already know most of what we need to know to live the Christian life. What Peter is trying to get us to understand is our greatest need is not new information. Our greatest need is to be reminded to put what we already know into practice. Anybody agree with that? Amen. Peter says, I'm going to remind you of these things. And I want you to remember why. Because in verses 8 and 9, you remember last week, he said, if you forget these truths, you'll become ineffective and unproductive in the Christian life. You'll be barren. You'll be barren in your life. And a church that forgets these things and don't put them into practice, a church will be barren, unproductive, ineffective where God has placed it. So Peter gives us a reminder to remember. Now, there are three things that we need to remember on a day-by-day basis or even a situation-by-situation basis. Remember these three things during maybe a struggle or a temptation. Remember these three things will help you not only get through it, but will make you more holy, will make you more Christ-like in the process. Peter gives us here these things, this reminder to remember. Here's the first thing to remember. The first thing is remember what happened when you got saved. In verse 10, he says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fail. Well, that's a good place to be, isn't it? You will never fail. He's saying, in effect, nail down where you stand with God. Know where you are in your relationship with God. Know where you are with Him. A man once replied, "Why? I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I'm saved. How can a man make his calling and election sure? How can he nail down the fact of his salvation? I don't know, maybe this guy was relying on his own goodness to get into heaven. And it had become especially troubling for him because he knew he wasn't good enough to get there on his own. This guy grew up in church. He knew all about the blood atonement, Christ, his substitute, his death for us. But when he tried to approach God, he didn't remember these things. He tried to come to God on a basis of his goodness, and he was miserable about it. He was miserable in the place where he was. Peter tells us you need to remember what really happened when you got saved. What really happened when you got saved? And by the way, let me tell you what didn't happen. You didn't give God a much needed break by joining his team. You know, when a losing team signs a high profile draft pick, boy, it starts a buzz with the fans, you know, and they got hope. You know, here we got this future superstar now on our team. Well, we're going to whoop somebody. Please understand, this wasn't the attitude in heaven when you signed on to the Christian life. It's true, the Bible says there was rejoicing when that happened, but not because you had the potential to be a great franchise player in God's kingdom. There was rejoicing because you were a sinner, totally and completely unworthy of God's grace, a prodigal who miraculously found your way home. That's what happened when you got saved. Peter says you need to remember, and you need to remember often, that your salvation is the result of the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. He came in this world. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was arrested, beaten, abandoned, crucified with criminals. And while he was on the cross, all the sins of the world were placed on him. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And at that moment, your sins, all of them, were placed upon Jesus. And he paid the price for you. You deserve the punishment and the death, but he paid it. And moments before he died, he said, "It is finished." And that phrase literally means paid in full. As far as God is concerned, your sins are paid for. The punishment has been met, and Jesus did it all. There's nothing you can do to add to his work. It's complete, done, finished. Jesus paid it all. And Peter says you need to remind yourself daily that you belong to God, not because you're good, but because God is good. Now, God wants to make us good. He wants to make you good, no question about that. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be Christ-like. And by his strength, someday you will be. But forever, the basis of your relationship with him is not on your superstar qualities. It's his amazing love and his unending mercy. And Peter said you need to remind yourself daily of what happened at your salvation. The second thing he reminds us of, he says, you need to remember who you're dealing with. You ever told somebody you don't know who you're dealing with? Verse 16 says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, in this period of time, there was a lot of stories about Jesus. There was a lot of story about other gods and false gods and other prophets. And there were prophets that were popular. There were a lot of stories going around. And what Peter is saying here, we're not telling you something that we heard, some clever story to somebody. We were there. We saw it ourselves. We've seen his glory. We've seen his majesty. We were eyewitnesses to everything that he did. And then he went on to say, for he received honor and glory from God the Father. And when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am pleased. Peter here is referring to the Mount of Transfiguration, a story in Matthew 17. You probably remember it. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus on a high mountain, and suddenly he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And they saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah, and then they heard a voice say, just as Peter quoted, "For this is my son with whom I'm well pleased." And if he didn't understand before, Peter, James, and John were to understand then. Jesus was not just an ordinary rabbi. Jesus was not just a specially gifted communicator. He was and is the majestic Son of Almighty God. Peter said something else in this letter I want you to notice. In the very beginning in verse 2, he said, "To those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours." Notice that phrase. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not talking about two separate beings here. He's calling Jesus Christ God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." In Colossians, Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus Christ is the God of the universes. He is worthy of our praise, worthy of our devotion, and he is not to be toyed with, not to be taken lightly. He's not only the creator of the universe, he is the sustainer of the universe. He perpetuates what he has created, and he redeems the universe. Peter wants us to also remember that he reigns over all the universe. This is his world, and he is in control. And even though there are things that happen that are against his will, nothing happens that is beyond his control. He still has the power to solve any situation, no matter how desperate, no matter how tragic. When your flight gets delayed, or when your baggage gets lost, or when you lose your job, or your health gives you trouble, or your kids give you trouble, or anything in this world rises up against you and knocks you off your feet. It may seem that everything is spinning out of control, but remember to keep reminding yourself who you're dealing with. Jesus is the Almighty Son of God, the living God, our Savior, our Healer, our Redeemer, our coming King. And he carried the sins of the world on his shoulders. And he's big enough and bad enough to carry you. Remember who you're dealing with. Remember his power, his authority, his majesty. The third thing that Peter says we need to remember is we need to remember what he plans to do. In verse 19, it says, "We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Peter is talking here about the second coming of Christ. And these prophetic words he's referring to are the words of Scripture. He goes on to say in verse 20, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man." Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy originated with God. Now, I want to talk about prophecy for a minute, but only a minute. Some people like to talk about it longer than a minute, like all the time, and that's fine. Some people, they don't like to talk about it as much as they like to argue about it. Some people, they'll just tell you mind-numbing details about every event that must take place in precise order, and they'll even give you a projected timetable for it all, you know. I'll be honest with you. Prophecy is really not my expertise. I don't really find speculating about the end times nearly as fascinating or nearly as motivating or nearly as important as the challenge of following Jesus every day. When Peter said you'll do well to pay attention, he wasn't talking about knowing how to debate the details of eschatology as much as he was saying, you need to take heed of what the prophecies tell us. So what do prophecies tell us? Prophecies tell us that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that every knee will bow down and every tongue will confess this to the glory of his name. And he'll make every right wrong. He will bring justice to all creation. He will bring his people to a place of joy and peace and celebration. And he will dry every tear, and he will heal every broken heart. That's what Jesus plans to do. When some people talk about prophecy, all they want to focus on is what the devil's doing. You can have a meeting and say, we're going to talk about the Antichrist. You'll have a crowd. But try to have a meeting to talk about Jesus and how great he is. Some people want to talk about all the bad that people are doing, all the bad things that's happening. That's what sells books. But, beloved, that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is that Jesus Christ will reign forever and ever, and we, his people, will worship him through all eternity. We will be reunited with the redeemed of all the ages. We will come to his mountain, and he will teach us his marvelous ways. The lamb will lay down with the lion, and we will be complete in every way. We will bask in his presence, and we'll know true peace and love forevermore. And that's what Jesus plans to do. And I believe he's capable of doing it. And that's what we need to remember. So in conclusion, Peter said to his readers, I will always remind you of these things, even though you already know them. The same could be said probably about most of us. We already know that we're saved by grace, not works. We already know that Jesus is the Son of God. And we already know that he's going to come again in power and in majesty. You know these things. But you need to be reminded again and again. Amen? Why? Because these things, being true as they are, these things make a big difference in the way we live our lives. When we remember these things, we live differently than we do when we forget them. We need to remember what happened when we got saved. You weren't saved because you turned over a new leaf and started being good. We're saved only by the grace and the mercy of God through the blood of Jesus. No other way. There is no other way. You need to remember who you're dealing with. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the majestic, glorious Son of God, who created the world, who sustains the world, who redeems the world. He reigns supreme. It's his world, and he is in control, which means even when you're not in control, praise God, he is, and he can carry you. Amen? You need to remember what he plans to do. His plans for eternity go far beyond the mark of the beast and Armageddon. Jesus plans to bring justice, his justice, to all creation. And he plans for his people to enjoy his presence forever in perfect peace, in perfect health, in a perfect place. Peter has given us a reminder to remember. Jesus Christ is Lord. We belong to Him. And amen. Praise God, He's going to see us through. You know these things. You know these things. Now, let's go out and put them into practice. Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank You for Your word today. We're thankful for Peter's reminder, not only to the church where he was writing this letter, but we know that You preserved it for us today, that we too could be reminded. And we thank You for that. We pray that we can take these things and put them to practice in our lives, that Jesus would be magnified and that people would be touched through His power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to 487. We're going to sing verses 1 and 3 of Room at the Cross for You. For being present today and bringing the spirit of worship. Does anybody have a word before we leave? Lord, You've been mighty good to us, and we thank You for Your presence here. And as we leave to go into the world, help us not only to remember the great truths of Scripture, but let us remember to put them into practice. Pray for my brothers and sisters, You would protect us and strengthen us and give us courage and grace and help us to be followers of Jesus in this day and age in which we live. For those who have asked interest in our prayers, we lift them. And thank You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen.